Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
Welcome to Fireteam Chat, IGN's Destiny show. We're not using the word podcast anymore on this show.
Okay, all right.
The number one podcast show.
That's it. I am Jose Otero. Yeah. I'm an associate editor here. I am joined once again by Destin Legiri.
Hey, everybody.
And Alfredo Diaz.
Hello.
You're both video producers, right? I could say your job
title. I'm a producer.
My job title is a secret. No, I'm scared.
I was going to say.
You're a producer?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
We're here once again.
I thought we were pals.
Well, you're on screen so much, I thought you might be like on screen talent.
Talent.
You know?
I do many things.
They hand out titles like candy.
Which aren't listed on my title. Yeah.
All right. So we're here to talk about Destiny once again, but we always start the same way every time. What did you do this week? What was the coolest thing you did in Destiny this week?
I'm going to stop everything right now. There's no heavy ammo synthesis sold this week from Xur.
Yeah.
It's a damn crime.
How many weeks is that in a row?
That's like six, 7 weeks in a
six?
Row.
Wow.
Like,
why
Bungie,
not?
Do you think this is a game? Fix this. Okay. I'm sorry. It's really like,
no,
come on,
I'm down
man.
To like 14.
How long has it been? Yeah. Wait, how
it's
many
been
weeks?
Like six, 7 weeks.
Wow.
No, it's been like three.
No, it's been that long.
So,
wow.
It's been really
before
long.
We go into what we did this week, because this is clearly worth talking about, I was talking to some friends who were playing the game, and maybe you guys have heard this as well. Is the official explanation that Xur is randomized? Like, Xur is driven by AI or an algorithm? Or Xur? Is it a human? Because either answer is unacceptable to me.
Yo, let's go. Let's get DJ on the horn, right?
Yeah. So, I've heard both. They can manipulate it so that he has a certain weapon on a certain week because they made him stay longer that one time, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I believe, don't quote me on this, I can't say definitively, but I believe that they can manipulate him. But usually it's randomized. For example, there was a ton of complaints about getting only new weapons in No Land Beyond and everything. I bet somebody took that off the menu, so to speak. Or like
they
when
need
he had
to manipulate a damn heavy ammo synthesis into my vault. That's what they need to do. Like, yeah. Sorry.
All right. No, yeah. this is fair. But I feel like the frustrations with Xur were compounding week to week. This week, less frustration because he's selling Icebreaker again.
Yeah. I got Icebreaker on my Xbox character, which is great. That's a must-have sniper rifle.
It is a must-have.
Yeah, it's a solid PvE sniper rifle. Don't use it during PvP.
No. But if you need an exotic, you need that weapon. Buy it.
Well, and over a million people.
Buy.
Yeah.
You use it in every part of the raid, both raids. Or not every part, but you use
Black
it
Hammer
for both
has some, like, and whenever you're going up against an enemy that stays still, the Black Hammer is really good, too.
Yeah, so I'm running a low-level character that doesn't have Black Hammer. To get Black Hammer, you need Icebreaker.
Yeah, it really helps.
It helps.
You know, I mean, you don't need it, but it helps.
Buy it.
I guess you could have a legendary.
Buy it right now.
Yeah,
buy Why are you listening to this podcast? Go buy Icebreaker.
Take
from
a break.
Xur.
Pause the podcast. Yeah. Go buy an Icebreaker.
Come back. So is that the coolest thing you did this week?
Actually, I've been trying to collect exotics. So every week during the reset, I brought my PlayStation 4 to our Cocoa meeting.
Yeah, we went. Yeah. The offsite conference that we had.
Was he the only one who did that?
Of course. course he wasn't.
I'm the only one that brought a PS4.
I go into his hotel room. He's sitting there laying down, sitting back, playing Destiny. And I'm like, Destin, this is a very sad sight, bro. Like, you gotta let go.
Everyone's at the party downstairs. What are you doing?
And then the second day, like, yeah, everyone was out, like, you know, enjoying themselves. And then Destin's like, oh, no, I'm gonna go back.
No, I called my girlfriend, and then I was tired. So I played Destiny until 2 a.m.
We might need to stage an intervention because I was out to 2:30 doing things. I wasn't up playing Destiny during the content conference, is all I'm saying.
I just didn't feel like going out to drink. That's all.
Okay. That's fair. Bro, it was a family show.
We hung out all day. We hung out all day. And, you know, we had the.
Destin needed his me time.
We had cocktails afterwards. And I just, I don't know, I don't drink as much as I used to.
It's like, man, you know, I should get Crota done right now.
Yeah.
So I went and killed Crota. Did you kill Crota?
Wow.
I did Swordbearer for the first time.
And you guys say I played Destiny too much. Yeah.
All right. So you got, Swordbearer first time.
Yeah.
Talk about it.
And it was great. I almost downed him the first time, but on the last hit when he was enraged, the sword disappears like mid swing and it just goes away and that's it. We wipe. So, yeah.
Damn.
But then we ran it again two more times. Yeah, I put it up.
Oh.
Or no, it's recorded on the PS4 at work.
Okay.
But yeah, so that happened. And I got a lot of the exotics I needed. Mm. I got Mita Multi-Tool.
Nice.
I got Fourth Horseman.
Nice.
I can't remember what else I got, but I got pretty much every weapon I needed except Hawkmoon, Suros, and the Crux. I need three weapons in the game, and I have everything.
I'm popping
my Hawkmoon.
It's a thing.
It was crazy though, like Mita dropped and then Fourth Horseman dropped. I was like, wow.
It's like Christmas.
And then I got my helmet for my Hunter.
Oh yeah, you told me that was the last
I got my helmet for my Titan.
Finally.
Still no Warlock Titan helmet, which I want.
Warlock Titan.
It'll happen eventually, maybe.
That was the coolest thing you did this week.
Nothing.
What?
I mean, I did ran the Nightfall 3 times. Got absolutely nothing good at all.
I got Helm of Saint 14 from the Nightfall.
This guy.
I had a crazy week.
That's how I got Hawkmoon. I got Hawkmoon from the Nightfall a week ago.
Yeah. I ran 2 weeks ago. I ran Crota with like my Twitch subs.
Okay.
I wanted the Red Death. I wanted the machine gun. They all got it. So.
That's fine.
Wait, you're talking about the hard mode AR or something else?
No, I still don't have... I don't have the corrected measure machine gun from Vault of Glass, and I don't have the, what is it? The Ear Yut machine gun.
You have to run it on normal to get special and heavy.
That's what people are assuming, right?
Yeah.
Because, like, we ran a bunch of hard mode, and I haven't seen any of the special or heavy drops.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I was hunting a Red Death and stuff, and I got nothing. Like, I got nothing but shards during my runs. Yeah. But I was really getting bored with Destiny, and I still am. But I realized this because I was playing with a couple of Twitch streamers out there. Shout out to T-Rex and Triple Rec. Those guys are awesome. Anyways, we'll have them on the show eventually. But I realized like Destiny is still fun if you play with the right people.
That's the only reason
so
I do
like,
it.
Yeah, so I started playing with my followers and my subs every night, and I was like, all right, like let's just hang out and just do stuff on Destiny.
Mm.
Sure.
Okay.
But so I had
deep conversations about Destiny this week, but I didn't play much this week. Last week, I went to Disneyland.
Yeah.
This week, I logged in to buy Icebreaker because I have not
because
been
you're
one
supposed
of the four.
To.
Yeah, you're supposed to. You're supposed to do it right now. I had last time Zer came around with Icebreaker, I may have listened to some advice to buy The Last Word and didn't have the coins.
You
to
bought?
Me. No, last time I was upset because I was like, damn, we didn't know like Icebreaker would be there.
Yeah.
And you're not supposed to know. Like that's the risk you take when you spend the coins, right? Uh-huh. Especially if you haven't been accumulating a lot of coins. You guys are in a different position than me because you have a lot of coins because you practically have almost every exotic in the game.
Well, stuff comes and we're like, we don't
everything
need
everything except Hawkmoon. But I'm going to keep
Hawkmoon,
gonna...
Crux. And what was the other one? Suros.
All right. But I did log in and I bought it with both characters. So on Xbox One, I now have that sniper.
Bought two instead of just switching?
I don't roll multiple characters on both games. I have just different pools
got
of friends
it,
I play
it.
With. So I only roll one character.
I understand what you mean.
It's a hard life, like, let me tell you, because it's fun because I can like pick and choose between the groups I play with, and it's always a good time. Like I feel like Destiny, the most understated element of it is its social
sort of component. Like how much fun you have with friends and the fun things that happen while you're playing. Even when the game breaks, you kind of laugh at what sort of the encounter and whatnot.
I think the friend thing is why people keep playing it.
Yeah.
You know?
Sure, for sure. But just to wrap it up, so I have now a capable sniper rifle, finally, on Xbox One, because I didn't have one in Icebreaker.
Good.
And then on PS4, I have Black Hammer. I have Patience and Time. Icebreaker is just a nice thing to have just because you don't ever have to worry about ammo.
Yeah.
That's
very, very useful in quality. A handful of encounters.
Too much recoil, though, I will say that. Like, that's I like Black Hammer because I could just, if something stays still, just pop, pop, pop,
get that. I mean, that's why the Icebreaker is such a good PvE weapon,
so
because you can regen ammo, but in PvP it's not really viable because the scope, and there's so much recoil.
That sounds like a great conversation topic for a different podcast episode.
Yeah, no.
Which I have saved.
Yeah. Okay, nice. Okay.
Somebody sent that in.
Got it. I'm glad you brought that up because people have been sending a lot of topics in, a lot of feedback in, a lot of questions in.
I responded to all 375 emails I hadn't responded to.
Yeah, can we give Destin a round of applause for that?
So, thank you guys.
Yeah, of course.
If you received an email from me, thank you for sending an email.
Yeah.
And just letting us know your thoughts. You can do that if you want to. It's destiny@ign.com.
That's right.
And I assure you I read every email that comes in, and I try and respond to them all.
Yeah. I'm just going to let you guys know, I can't. I literally answer all those questions like 8 hours every night on stream.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Destin.
I appreciate it, too. I glance every once in a while to see what the feedback is, but I don't try to answer every email, especially because I'm also balancing NVC's inbox, which also fills up a lot.
I understand, man. You have two podcasts you're trying to manage.
Hard living.
That's why we distribute the workload.
But you guys who did write in, thank you so much. And in fact, Destin compiled some topics for this week's show. So we're going to go through them.
First
one's from Jonathan. Do you want to read it?
Yeah. What are your Destiny predictions for 2015? So this is ambitious, first of all, in my opinion, because it's just, I feel like the game's still too new to go really far yet. So I'm curious to hear how you guys feel about Destiny in terms of predictions for 2015. Because I just feel like there's this huge wall between anything we say and what could potentially be gleaned. Like from there's not enough experience, in my opinion. There's been one expansion. The game launched. There's been, one PvE sort of event in Queen's Bounty.
PvE,
and there have been multiple PvP events in Iron Banner.
They have like the doubles or whatever it's called.
Yeah. Talk about that real quick.
I haven't done it yet.
Oh, okay.
So, but it's like
just a 2v2 playlist.
Yeah, 2v2.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Predictions.
You want me to start?
Yeah.
Okay. My predictions for 2015, something big is coming at E3. I don't know what it's going to be. I know we're going to get House of Wolves just before that. And I think there's going to be a Destiny-centric announcement at E3.
Is it comet-shaped?
I don't think it's comet-shaped because Irk tweeted out like this really cheeky memento slide where he writes on the back, a memento like meme sort of thing.
Yeah, anyway, the reference,
don't believe the slide. And I'm like, okay, I mean, he's either saying those dates are wrong or that it's total BS.
So
I don't think Comet's actually going to be a thing.
No, I think there is a big update in September. Maybe it's not called Comet, but there is a big update for what was Destiny's release date again? It was in September. Yeah, it was a September game.
Yeah.
I think for the
1 year.
Yeah, for close to the 1 year, there's going to be something cool. Mm-hmm. Also, I mean, this isn't a prediction per se, but it's a definite like something's getting said on Bungie Day. July 7th, Bungie always does something with his community or tries to say something. I feel like that's a good opportunity for them, especially with the community outreach that they go for and for the incentives and ways to get people excited about games. Mm-hmm. So who knows? But I think you're right that E3 is definitely something gets said about Destiny because you don't just not say anything about it.
A big reveal about what we're going to be doing for the next 6 months.
But is it at the PlayStation conference? Does it show up instead at the Xbox
media? That doesn't really matter because it's cross-platform.
It is.
I don't think it's going to – well, it does matter if it's exclusive, but I think it'll be exactly like it is now where PlayStation players get a nice hat and Xbox players don't. Because
Hawkmoon is not a nice hat.
Okay, yeah. Fair enough. Hawkmoon's really, really good.
Yeah.
I'm just saying it's not going to impact gameplay because Hawkmoon's pretty much a little bit better version of Last Word.
Okay.
You know, so there's something comparable on Xbox to the PlayStation exclusive is all I'm saying.
Okay. I like it. I like it, though. Mm-hmm. Putting the bet on E3 is, I think, a smart bet. What do you think?
Honestly, Destiny isn't even on my radar for that far along. Like,
what is it?
You're thinking no announcements.
No, I'm thinking there's going to be announcements, and I'm thinking that they are going to have things to extend the game's length in 2015, but, like, I don't see myself...
Like, extending your player time?
Yeah, like,
in 2015?
Something's going to get you. There's got to be something coming. House of Wolves... I mean,
if there's a raid, yeah, but we're talking about 2015. Like, how much longer can I keep... You know what I mean? Like, yeah, sure, if there's a new raid or there's a new, like... big event type thing, like I'm not gonna come back for the Iron Banner, like, you know, but if there's something like on a larger scale in 2015, I'll check it out,
and then you'll bounce,
and then I'll dip. Like,
yeah,
I'm already looking forward to other games like Rainbow Six and Halo.
Oh,
5.
Rainbow Six, like, God, that's gonna be
Rainbow
good.
Six is gonna be my life once that drops.
So. I think that's a different conversation.
No, but this is actually a very relevant conversation, because I mean, for Destiny to stay relevant, they've got to offer up something that's gonna keep them in people's like rotation. You know, like. Mm-hmm. The fact that new games are on the way makes the next big update for Destiny a major thing. We're not talking House of Wolves level like DLC or even Dark Below for all of its what they tried and what didn't work and what did work and that. You look at, like, there are other games coming out, so they have to have something that can compete. And that's why I firmly believe, like, if it ain't called Comet, fine. It's not called Comet, but something big has to come along if this is going to be something that they want to keep alive for longer than the typical cycle.
So, Alfredo, your prediction's almost like they're going to run into a lot of trouble leading into their 1 year.
I think so. Like, I think a major part of the reason why I still play Destiny is because of the fact that, like, there's not really any other game I can turn to right now, you know? For me, it was going to be, I was playing a lot of Destiny. I was like, all right, cool, Master Chief Collection is going to come out. I'm going to play MCC. Like, that's going to be my new. And then that game was broken.
Yeah.
So I went back to
there were
Destiny,
some challenges,
you know?
The Order is coming. I know that's not going to be a big one, but for PlayStation 4 users, they're going to hop off and start checking that out.
I mean,
does,
like,
Evolve have you
Rainbow
too?
Six. So, yeah, Evolve just dropped. And
a lot of people have bounced from Destiny to go play Evolve.
Yeah, and Evolve's an awesome game.
Yeah.
But I worry about, this is a whole different conversation, but I worry about, like, how long that game's going to last. But my thing with Evolve is just, like, that just showed me that, like, I am looking for something else to play.
Yeah.
Like, that is, you know, I'm constantly, right now, I'm just, like, out to mingle with other games. So. Yeah.
So I missed, this is partially related, I'm not trying to go on a tangent. I missed last week's discussion where you guys talked about the potential Q2 for House of Wolves. Did you guys sort of,
that's really bad. That's really scary.
Actually really good. I know this is going to suck because there's someone on the end of this going, why would you say that? I am saying that because, and this has been said, like, but I firmly believe that Destiny cannot afford another Dark Below. Mm-hmm. It cannot afford another expansion to come out that doesn't have a substantial enough hook to keep players going until next thing. And if delaying it to Q2, even if it was or wasn't a delay, let's start out. Let's just say it's coming out in Q2. I don't want to use the word delay because we don't even know when it was supposed to come out.
Yeah.
If Q2 as a release window makes sense to make that possible, I'll take it. I'll take it only because when I come back to something, it needs to be
substantial
to a degree. And I'm not talking like the next big expansion. I just mean something that's going to keep me playing until, if Comet's a thing or not a thing, whatever is replaced that name. I need something to hold me until then, and if holding this to Q2 helps that become that, I'll take it.
There's also a bar of quality they need to hit with this release.
Yeah, 100%. I think going back to that topic, you know, when I was streaming, my chat actually made a good, really good, like, you know, analysis of this, and they were like, hey, yeah, we get it sooner, we want it sooner, yeah, but that just means there's a longer gap between that September content.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, you know,
sure. Well, also... Oh, no, go ahead.
Yeah,
I'm
It's like, sure, it's like we want it in March, but it's like, how much longer of a wait do we have after that? And I was like, wow, like, that's actually true. So.
Well, and I think it's twofold, right? Because it's also just that it can't be, like, Dark Below did not set the world on fire. Like, it didn't.
When did
I feel
it launch?
Also,
December?
Like, even... it was a December launch, and I remember it's listening to some commentaries from you. You were really disappointed. You know, missions were short. Mm-hmm. The strikes didn't feel really substantially done. It was reusing a lot of areas. Wasn't enough loot to really keep you going, too. Like, that's been the constant problem
loot
with Destiny is
good.
The amount of loot.
Well, the gear, the stuff you wear is good. The weapons aren't.
The weapons aren't great. I think in 2015, like, if they really want to, you know, get that second gust of wind, like, bring us content that has some depth. Yeah. You know, give us a story. that everyone's been wanting. I feel like that could be something that really brings people in.
Okay.
Let's move to topic three, Jose. Actually, all right. And then we'll come back because the other one will be shorter, I think.
Got it, got it. All right. Okay. So then topic three. Oh.
Yeah. And this comes from Liam. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Liam, for sending in your question.
Yeah. And he asks, would you still play if there was a monthly fee? So I need
There's a drop off with subscription based games.
Okay. But yeah. I need clarity here. Okay. Does a monthly fee mean that Destiny, he's not saying Destiny would be free to play and you're just paying a monthly fee to keep playing, or you're paying for the game and you're paying for a monthly fee?
Like Final Fantasy 14. Or Star Wars when it launched, or World of Warcraft. You buy the game and then you pay $12.95 or $14.95 subscription fee per month. That's a pretty common rate for like Final Fantasy 14, etc.
Mm-hmm.
So, but had Destiny launched with that, would you still be playing, or would you have canceled your subscription?
Well, if I know then what I know now, no. There's just
games like
not
Final
enough.
Final Fantasy can afford to do that because they have a lot of content.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah, there's just a lot more to do. Right. There's a lot more spaces to play in. There's a lot more weapons or armor or what have you. Mm-hmm. And you know, in Destiny's case, I mean, part of me wonders if the more relevant question is, if it were free to play, would I still be playing? And I don't.
It is free to play.
Well, I mean, in the sense of that, I didn't have to buy it. Like, in other words, I didn't drop $60.
Like they just give it to you for a free?
Game.
That'd
yeah,
be,
then I'm
that'd be
just,
dumb. Like, that would never happen.
Well,
you know,
I don't know. I mean, then it would have to switch to like some kind of microtransaction setup, and that's another relevant question. Like, what happens if Destiny, like so many other games, where I've seen this in some racing games. I don't know if I've seen it in FPS. I might be forgetting. Mm-hmm. And maybe PlanetSide is also another indicator of this, because that's a free to play shooter style like big world. You can pay to get around or buy certain weapons, almost like a pay to win.
That would be the dumbest thing to ever come to Destiny.
Like, if you could buy Gjallarhorn for $5,
that is the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
I think it's not dumb on their part. I understand people would spend money on your game and you do it, but it's just such a scummy practice that
I don't
like.
No, it's not even that. Like, what is the thing that brings us back week after week to play Destiny? Is trying to get loot. Like, if I can just buy all the stuff, like, sure, you do get, like, my money up front, and maybe that's good for you, but, like, you're not going to keep me coming back. Like, that's the only reason why we come back is for the armor, is for the loot, is for that chance of maybe getting it this week. Mm-hmm. Like...
Well, and everything that happens in between that quest for the thing you want.
Like, okay, like, if they do want to do microtransactions, I don't completely disagree with that in the sense that, like, you have to do it the right way, right? Look at Counter-Strike. Mm-hmm. It's just weapon skins, you know?
Yeah.
I don't think that microtransactions are acceptable if it's something that leverages, like, the gameplay itself.
Yeah. Like, you can buy a Gjallarhorn for $4.99.
Yeah.
Yeah.
$2.99. They probably wouldn't do that. They probably do, like, exotic weapon engrams that you can buy for $4.99 and maybe get a Gjallarhorn. That's how they do it. It'd be like freaking Hearthstone where you buy the card packs.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe you can get something cool.
Well, I just want to throw a reminder out to listeners right now. Yeah, to listeners right now. This is all in a hypothetical. Like, this is just us speculating and wondering.
It's Liam's fault.
I don't want to blame Liam for this, but I do want to say that these are sort of our fears for, like, what, you know, when you play with the pricing model for Destiny. It's true. We don't pay a monthly fee, and we're getting. Think about how many hours of enjoyment you've gotten out of the game, and you didn't pay anything extra but $60. Like, that to a big company, that's a steal, right? Like, the amount of there are other examples.
Hours.
Skyrim is another example of that. A lot of the Call of Duties are another example of that. Mm. Where, well, maybe not Call of Duty because you're paying for map packs.
You know what's a steal on their end? They didn't put out a game that has a story.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you could swing things all over the place.
Sure, you could. And there's story missing from Destiny. There's definitely, like, certain
like a lot
parts
of people
of
felt
weapons
like
and armor.
They
and
spent $60, yeah, but they didn't get the game that they should have got.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and
that was advertised.
Yeah. Like, and I totally, you know, hear them out. Like, it makes, you know, a lot of their statements make sense.
Okay.
So I feel like, if microtransactions were to come, then have it be like, oh, I can.
They have to be done right.
Yeah.
It has to be like skins. Same way, like, I think League of Legends or Dota does that.
Yeah, like League of Legends and Dota, you could just, like, well, I know for Dota, because Mitch plays next
Smite
all the time. Like,
we played Smite.
Yeah,
it's like
purely
different
cosmetic
skins,
you know,
and they look awesome.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, if I could buy cool Galahorn skins, sure, you know, I'll dump something in there.
Yeah,
like,
but if you buy a Galahorn, that's a problem. The minute you find a way to go around this RNG loop that you've set up, that's
I'm hunting
a huge
the Red Death.
Problem.
If I have that's another step into, like, me not playing the game anymore because it's like, all right, I'm almost complete now. Like,
okay.
Speaking of breaking the game, Anthony Emma.
Yeah.
And Wilson had something that I added to this question. So the first question is from Anthony Emma, and it is, would a sharing or trading system break the game? I think yes, 100%.
Yes.
It never should be added. I see it constantly discussed. Oh, help, my friend got his third Galahorn. I want him to trade it to me. No, that would ruin the game. You would have been done with it in 20 hours.
But does it – I'm going to push back a little bit.
And it takes away the fun and the like feeling when you actually get what you want. It's exciting.
Sure.
You
know? I just want to push back a little bit. Does it break the game because it's a bad idea, or does it break the game because of the state the game is right now in terms of the amount of loot, the amount of weapons, the amount of armor? What makes it work, in your opinion, and what doesn't make it work?
Okay, this isn't Diablo. Every weapon, like exotic, has something special about it that you can get, you know, that excites you. If you introduce trading, it's just like you get a Galahorn. There's only one type of Galahorn you're going to get. You know, there's not different perks on it or anything.
Yep.
That is a different conversation. Like, I think that'd be really cool if there were different perks on exotics or something like that. But that's not what you're trading. You're trading the weapon. That person has it. You know, there's no reason to continue playing.
It just goes back to what we were talking about, right? Mm-hmm. Like, the reason why we keep coming back is to hunt that exotic weapon or that piece of gear. And it's just like, there's so many people that just play this game. And it's just like, all you'd have to do, like, if I wanted the Red Death, like, I would have gotten that instantly. You know what I mean? Like, I got 6 Galahorn drops, and sure, it seems like a waste, but at the same time, it's just like I'm also hunting for stuff.
Yeah, Galahorns.
Yeah, I had 6 Galahorns.
What?
I've dismantled every single one of them on stream. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Saw you do that once. I tried. That was when I didn't have it. Yeah.
But, like, you know, if I had those, I could just trade them away and get pretty much anything I want. And then
people would buy them.
And then instantly, I'm done with the game.
Yeah. Yep.
You know? Like,
so I think
I wouldn't like it at all.
I feel like if you were to implement something like that, you'd have to have, like, solid content to keep people coming back. And honestly, the only thing keeping people, like, you know, on a daily basis revisiting this game is the exotics, is the gear.
Exotics and your friends. You know, your friend needs help. Sure, I'll hop on and do it. Yeah. The reason they do it is because, yeah, I'll hop on and do it. Maybe I'll get that Hawkmoon. Or maybe next week you can help me get it.
So I think it wouldn't break the game if there was more to the game. I think Destiny evolves, this is an inevitability.
Needs to be a lot more to the game.
Yeah, I think this is an inevitability by Destiny 2. Like,
oh, you
this
think
is
they'll
something
add it
that,
in Destiny 2?
I think this has.
I
this is something
think you're
that
totally
will,
wrong.
I think this is something that will eventually make it here.
I don't think that'll happen.
I don't think it'll happen.
No. That's fair. Yeah. I mean,
like,
I only
they
think
to have
so.
Like Diablo scale content.
It would have to be like
Hang on. Well,
we're getting up, and I was like, no.
No, yeah, then that's fine. Sorry. I could defend myself. No, but what I'm saying is that if there was more to that loop and there were that many choices and there were like right now, I feel like in this game this is absolutely the best weapon you can get, and there are so limited numbers that this is that weapon, right? Yeah. In each class, in just primary, in special, and in heavy.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that is what's kind of holding back an idea like this, where there just isn't enough weapons or armor or setups to share.
Yeah.
But well, I mean, the minute there's more of them, like I play a lot of Monster Hunter, that's my thing. You can't share armor and weapons in Monster Hunter because you're crafting them. Your job is to find the materials to make the weapon to do what you're going to do with it.
Cool system.
And that's the way that system mostly works, where you are compiling the resources you need to make something cool that's going to slay some stuff. In Destiny, it doesn't really work that way. And thereby, you can't trade weapons, but what you can trade in some cases are like potions and things like that.
Yeah.
But my point is, if there were more there to work with, I think this could absolutely help people. I mean, I think that it still fits within the spirit of helping people do things. I just don't know how they would regulate it. Like, obviously, they need a lot more loot. I don't want to put a number on it because that's not fair.
They would need an enormous amount of loot and then, like, variables within those exotics.
Yeah. I don't like a huge amount of loot. I like that the amount of weapons is obtainable. Yeah. It's not like Borderlands where there's so many you don't really care about the variants.
I agree with you. I think it's one of the reasons I definitely have not been sucked into Diablo. It's also another reason I haven't been sucked into Borderlands. I feel like when a game presents me with too many choices,
yeah,
I just become overwhelmed. And I'm just like, well, what's the difference between that gun and this one? Like, I don't get it. And yeah, so I hear you on the same at the
don't
same time.
Don't give us a little amount of choices. Don't give us too many choices.
Yeah, right. What's wrong with us?
God, like, what is wrong with us?
There was space one other dementia. Thing.
There was one
Destiny
other thing Wilson
long.
Added, and it's just a little small thing. Alfredo, do you feel any differently if you could only do it at the end of a nightfall during the reward screen?
Give it up. Give it away.
If you could trade during...
Only at that reward screen.
Only at that reward screen with those players?
Yeah.
I want to take it a step further, but I'm going to let him answer that.
I think that's more acceptable, but I feel like still you need a lot more in terms of depth in the weapons.
Seeing your friend get that makes me want to run it again, you know? Oh, my friend got the Gallahorn. Maybe if I run it one more time, I'll get it.
Yeah, but
you
know, the same
I have the opposite
like,
reaction. I'm sending like angry messages. I'm like, I don't like you.
Everybody
I'm sorry.
But I mean, I feel like it right now, the way that the game is, it's... What keeps us coming back is the fact that we don't have those things.
Yep.
If we implement another system to get those things quicker, you know, like, if I have every exotic, what's the point of doing my weeklies? What's the point of, like, doing my raids? Like, I'm going to do it for my friends and stuff, but I don't know, like, how long is that going to last? How long are you actually going to, like, beat your head against the wall that is your Crota hard mode, you know?
Once I get Hawkmoan, Suros, and Crux... Do I level those weapons up? Why? Why do I care?
I don't even
you know. Like
level
that's exotics
anymore.
That would be the next step for me. Get all level 2 exotics and then level them all up. But do I want to do that? I don't know. Jose, we got to wrap it up.
Yeah, we do. Sorry about that. But I will say, it is interesting, especially that modifier at the end, where it's like, "Hey, would you do it at the end of a nightfall?"
Yeah.
Because that is a very. It's almost like you can insert that kind of question at the end of a raid. You can insert it at.
I still say no.
Yeah, I think
that
I'm going to lean towards
too
no
many
too.
Problems.
I mean, part of me wishes I don't know, and this is probably a very silly thing, but part of me wishes you could just send it off to someone randomly. In Destiny, they just go, hey, goodbye. And then someone just goes up to the postmaster, like, you have a message. And there it is. Like, if something that, it's so random, but it's also like, I don't know, it feels like there's a greater good there versus just selfishly, like, well, I'll pick Bobby this time.
I'll trade you the Gallahorn for a Plan C.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I don't know, but that maybe that's too altruistic. Maybe that's just not, you know, realistic either.
I think
but
it'd be entertaining. Just you know, just send off your exotic weapons. Yeah. Someone random will get it.
Yeah. Someone sends you a message back. I got like 6 of these. Where's this coming from? Yeah. Anyway, that was a really bad idea. All right. Well, thank you for listening to Fireteam Chat, IGN's Destiny Show. We are a weekly fixture here on IGN, and Destin and Alfredo also do a lot of great work on Destiny. You guys. Hey, where's the Zer video this week, by the way?
We were waiting for you to get back to record this so we can record that.
Oh, God,
Zer. Got it. Okay.
Yeah, I apologize, guys, if it seems like I'm too much on time. I just really get passionate about my arguments. Like,
Yep.
And your heavy ammo sin.
Yeah, that too. All right. No, that's fair. Again, you can email us feedback. Just send over an email to destiny@ign.com. And leave us some feedback. Send in feedback in an email as well, or head on over to iTunes. Rate the show.
Oh,
let us know what
review
you think.
The show on iTunes.
Yeah,
we're up there.
That
now.
Helps.
Yeah, that helps. Yeah. You can definitely find the feed. Just search for Fireteam Chat iTunes and Google. It's really not hard.
Yeah.
All right. And lastly, you can find us on Twitter. You can find Alfredo Diaz at.
My Twitter handle is TheAlfredoPlays.
And he also plays games on Twitch at.
Twitch.tv/AlfredoPlays.
Okay. Isn't it TheAlfredoPlays? Did you cut the off?
No. I don't want the, but I got stuck with the on Twitter.
I know. Okay. Yeah. Got it. And what about you, Destin? Where can they find you on Twitter and on Twitch?
At Destin Legarry and on Twitch, twitch.tv/DestinLegarry.
That's
I
right.
I play infrequently on
lately.
Twitch. Yeah, just busy.
Yeah, no, that's fair. You're a busy dude. All right. And lastly, you can find myself on Twitter only at Jose_Otero. And thank you for listening. We'll be back next week with more Fireteam Chat.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it. Or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz and how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.